Welcome back to the eeriest episode yet of the Oklahoma Today podcast, coming to you not live from the Vault 405's podcast studio. We've got a great spooky interview with authors Jeff Provine and Dennis Spielman, who will tell us some of Oklahoma's scariest ghost stories and tell you all about their excellent spine-tingling podcast, Tales Unveiled. But first, let's give a shout-out to our sponsors. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
And they're never scary.
They never are. They're always sweet. The voice you're hearing, the dulcet tones of Editor-in-Chief Nathan Gunner.
What's up?
And I am Oklahoma Today web editor Greg Elwell, and we've got with us in the studio, as we said, Jeff Provine and Dennis Spielman. Hey, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us out.
Hello.
Glad to have you, fellas.
Before we get into Tales Unveiled too much, I wanted to, Nate, you have a ghost story that is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, well, I am a ghost.
Okay.
No,
and we were the entire time.
An unfriendly... No, I grew up a mile away from a place called Dead Woman's Crossing, and it's a famous Oklahoma haunted place. It's around the corner from the house I grew up in, and it's a bridge over Little Deer Creek outside of Weatherford. And the legend the historic story is that there was a woman who was fleeing an abusive husband in 1890s Oklahoma. Pardon me if I get some of these details wrong because I'm doing it from memory, but she was fleeing kind of a bad marriage. And she gets on a train and comes through Weatherford, and there she meets a local prostitute. Actually, they met on the train and then got off in Weatherford, and the woman offered to take her kind of the rest of the way that she was going. And what the only witnesses really saw was they saw the two of them ride into a field in a carriage. And then, by the way, I'm terrible at telling stories, I'm so sorry. The woman has a baby. The wife has an infant. And what they see them right into the field, and then they see the prostitute come barreling out of the field. She drops the baby off at a nearby house, and the wife disappeared. There was a huge reward. I think the reward at the time was like $75. So there was this huge manhunt, like looking for this woman, and her father offered all this money, just, you know, alive or dead. I just want to find her. I just want to know what happened. Not found. This goes on for months. And then later, someone comes back and eventually finds her skull. This man and his son eventually come back and find her skull right there at the edge of the field, which is right there by this creek. And when the police questioned the prostitute, they caught up with her. She fled. They caught up with her in Shawnee. She took poison right there on the spot as she was being questioned by the police and died. So no one has ever been able to understand what happened. They were eventually able to clear the ex-husband, because the first thought was the ex-husband paid her to, you know, kill his wife. And they eventually were able to kind of exonerate him, so really nobody knows what happened here. It's a very creepy thing, and so the legend goes that she wanders the banks of Deer Creek down there at Dead Woman's Crossing looking for her child, who was taken from her. Yeah, and I've actually been down there late at night. The story goes that late at night you can hear her calling for the child. I've been down there and nothing happened, except that at the exact stroke of midnight, as I'm standing there with a couple friends, this is the first story I ever wrote for Oklahoma Today, by the way, first one I ever wrote. At the exact stroke of midnight, we're standing there kind of under the bridge, and this car pulls up, this pickup truck pulls up in the dark, lights off, and stops. And I'm not kidding, it's the exact stroke of midnight. And then these sort of redneck dudes start hooting and hollering and then like spin their tires and drive off at the exact stroke. Awesome. I'm sure they just saw us down there. They'd probably driven by a couple times and seen us down there and decided to give us a scare. But we were like, you're dumb.
Doing haunted donuts.
Yeah, but there's a great, if you you can look in the archives of the Chronicles of Oklahoma in 1982, there was a really good story about this. And the woman that wrote that story apparently became kind of semi-obsessed with this murder and trying to solve it, and had a very sort of spooky encounter down there of her own, and continued to see this woman's spirit kind of in her own home. And what some people believe now is that because someone invested in the story. Like, it's been a long time since anyone has reported anything down there.
Yeah.
So they wonder if somehow, just by the fact of this woman paying attention to her story and was able to kind of put her to rest in some way, but I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. I only have a degree in religion. I don't know. but yeah, so that's anyway, but it was a mile from where I grew up. And when I was a kid in the 80s, a flood came through and washed that bridge out. And so there was a gap there. But it's a very popular place for like college students to go drink and hang out and see if they're going to see some spooky. So I also wonder if some of the sightings down there are people who've been, you know, overserved.
Sure.
And, you know, had a little too much and maybe saw something. But nothing happened really when we were down there. It was very quiet. It was nice. We waited and waited and waited until about 12:45 a.m. and then gave up and drove home. So just probably should have waited a little longer, huh?
Oh yeah, 3 o'clock. That's what they say.
I know these things always like at the stroke of midnight, and it's like, but what? Like, does it have to be this? Like, can it not be like 3:12 a.m.? Like, yeah.
What? Which ghost is it that is constantly?
It's Katie. It's the wife
checking their watch. Is
oh,
what
I know.
Saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
oh,
like, it's like,
oh, you know what, you guys?
Oh, I gotta
go.
Clock
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry, guy. I gotta. Yeah. There's a bridge. I gotta go be spooky near it.
Yeah.
So.
Are there traffic jams in the afterlife of all these ghosts trying to get somewhere at midnight? I don't know. Yeah. So these are all the questions that I did not get answered when I earned a bachelor's degree in religion.
So Jeff and Dennis, you guys are experts in the paranormal, having written between you guys how many books?
Let's see, I've got 4 collections of folklore, Campus Ghosts of Norman, Haunted Norman, and then I co-wrote Haunted Guthrie and Haunted Oklahoma City with Tony McCoy, who's a paranormal investigator. So she's what I consider the expert. I'm just a researcher.
Okay.
And none of my books are about ghost stories.
Well,
yeah.
But you had one that was it wasn't paranormal, I guess. It was kind of supernatural.
I've had like some sci-fi fantasy stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I guess reading that, I was just like, oh, this is scary.
But you guys have a great podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Tales Unveiled.
So Tales Unveiled started as kind of a way to tell some of Oklahoma's history and urban legends. There's quite a few podcasts about Oklahoma out there, and I wanted to do something.
Yeah, way too many.
I wanted to start to do something different, and I was thinking, like, ooh, how about ghost stories? And, like, well, how about I also, like, make it somewhat of a docudrama, kind of like Black Tapes or Welcome to Night Vale?
Yeah.
I just wanted kind of, like, this fun, like, fictional slant to it. So myself and Jeff, we play fictional characters as we're interviewing usually real people about their ghost stories. And I just like that element of storytelling to it, because we can also add, like, why did we go to this town or why did we go to this spook? And because, like, there's some backstory of, like, between the characters that leads them to all these different places. So I just think that's just a really fun storytelling element. And
yeah.
When I kind of sort of come up with this idea with, you know, how about doing a ghost story type podcast? And the first person I thought of, like, well, if I do this, I want to do it with Jeff, because, you know, he's written, you know, or helped, you know, research all these books and all this stuff. And I've interviewed Jeff for my other show, Uncovering Oklahoma, my YouTube series. And so I was like, well, who else should I get for this?
Yeah.
So out of the blue, get a message like, hey, do you want to do this podcast? And yes, obviously. So, which pretty much the same reason I've been doing tours is trying to, you know, spread the word, get these stories out that we don't often hear.
And it's a good time of year for this stuff.
Exactly.
It's a spooky season.
And you've got, we actually put one of your Norman ghost tours, I think, on our weekly events calendar pretty recently.
Yeah.
What can someone expect if they sign up for one of these?
Yeah, so it's a storytelling tour, you know, which lots of people mean different things when they say ghost tours. There's ones where they give you the equipment and you go in and do investigations and try to get scratched or voiced or something. And then other people do spook houses and things. But this one is, here are the stories from history and here are interviews of what people have experienced. Think what you want. And we go to sites that are historically significant and stuff you don't often think about. And then sometimes do weird things happen. The barbershop down in Norman, we've had 5 people take pictures of the barber standing in the back now.
Wow.
Yeah, which that just
I'm
happened since the tour started.
They didn't see a barber.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's always wearing a brown hat and a brown long coat for some reason. Yeah.
Well, that's creepy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's super weird.
Hmm.
Yeah. Different kind of quality on it. The first lady who got a picture just kind of, you know, looked looked like a hat and a coat, and I was like, okay, well, that's the coat rack in the back, but like all the coat racks are on the side, there aren't any in the back. And the next lady got one that actually looked like a person, and I said, well, you know, it could be the reflection and so forth. And she said, well, no, I took it exactly against the glass like you're supposed to, so there's no reflections. Also, it's May. Who would be wearing a long coat in Oklahoma in May? And then the third lady, she believed you could kind of stir up the energy of it and get more vivid pictures. So she was knocking on the door saying, hey, open up. I want a haircut and all this. And she said the door slammed against the lock like somebody kicked it from the other side. But nobody's inside. And even so, she decided to take a couple more pictures before scooting off. And one of them, he's standing there vivid enough you can see his expression. And he's not happy. So don't do that.
Yeah.
Wow. But if you want to, come on a Norman Ghost Tour sometime.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Heck yeah. That's cool.
We may be doing a live version of this podcast coming with.
Who knows what will show up.
I know.
I've always heard the ones about the Sooner Hotel, too. You mentioned campus ghosts. I've always heard the Sooner Hotel at OU is a super active.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's been a dormitory for decades. Okay. So how so many people going through, you know, just kind of get connected to a place and show back up.
Interesting.
Yeah, they say they get lots and lots of EVPs. And one group that investigated the contact research and investigation specialists, they said it was the most polite group of ghosts we've ever met.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, politeness is important.
Outside of Canada, I would imagine. Just like, oh, sorry, I'll let myself out.
I don't think I'm going to be a polite ghost. I won't be Nathan the Friendly Ghost.
Okay. No.
I'm going to haunt some people. I'm going to have some things to say. Well, tell us about some of your other things that you've seen and experienced, and what might be kind of one of the most interesting experiences you've ever had doing this.
I guess we'll tell them about Stone Lion Inn.
Stone Lion Inn was pretty cool. Which, you know, I mean, a lot of people go to Stone Lion Inn because it's very famous, and turns out for a big reason. So our
Stone Lion Inn is, sorry, it's, that's
oh,
where?
Yeah, that's in Guthrie.
Oh, that's what
it's a bed and breakfast, yes. Okay,
the old Houghton residence, and then it's been renovated, and they do lots of murder mysteries and kinds of cool stuff.
Okay.
And then famously, one of the daughters in the Houghton family is still up there, and she'll steal your glasses in the middle of the night, or you'll wake up and she'll be petting your hair and all this kind of weird stuff. And for us, she locked the door on us, which she's also famous for doing.
Wow.
Yeah. We were outside kind of like recording like our, you know, sort of our cold open. And then I wanted to get like the sound effect of the front door opening because it's pretty creepy. So my hands are full and Jeff's opening the door for me. So, you know, and he's kind of focused on that. So, you know, he opens the door up and then we go inside. And then like maybe a moment later, one of the other podcasters we were with from the Okie Show Show, like was knocking on the door wanting to be let in because apparently the deadbolt got turned on and locked her out.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, if it was a button I could have accidentally pressed, I'd be understanding. But I did not turn that deadbolt, so something's going on. Yeah.
Weird. One of our colleagues once had a very strange experience at the Best Western Inn in West Siloam Springs, Oklahoma. She woke up in the middle of the night and there was a man standing at the end of her bed. Hmm. And she thought there was a man standing at the end of her bed and she leapt for him to tackle him, thinking I'm going to protect myself, and just landed on the floor and there was nobody there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, kudos. That's a pretty good reaction.
I know, right? Yeah. Not the first thing I would probably do if I woke up in the middle of the night and someone's just standing at the end of my bed.
I can't tell you what my first action would have been, but my second would have been calling down to the front desk for new sheets.
Yeah.
So.
At least third. Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know that about the Stone Lion Inn. I knew that. I remember they did the murder mysteries when you said that, but I didn't know that, that there was actual stuff going on.
Oh, yeah,
there.
All kinds of crazy stuff. Even before that, we were talking with the owner about, you know, weird stuff that's happened, and she talked about the upstairs being her kids' playroom back in the day, and the closet they would store their toys in is where the little girl would hang out and play with their toys, and sometimes they'd have to sit around and wait for her to be done so they could clean up. And we said, oh, yeah, we saw all those coins you stacked up in it, kind of a display. And she's like, what are you talking about? And we said, the coins, right? You know, go steal coins and things. She had no idea. So she made us go up there and show her. And there's this stack of like $30 and pennies and nickels, just, you know, kind of stuff you do if you were a kid collecting, and had all stacked up. And so we were like, hey, you know, it's payday for you. And she's like, nope, that's hers. I'm not touching that.
I wouldn't. That is so creepy and cool. Wow. How fun, though.
Yeah.
Are there, And I think because Dennis, I was on one episode.
Yeah, yeah, we had you talking about some of the haunted restaurants.
Yes, yeah. You had a story you were telling me about a place that had like three different ghosts, working the kitchen and stuff like that. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, that would be it's a Noble Kendall's.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Where I famously did not eat three chicken fried steaks.
Oh. No one, because no one should really.
They actually recently got featured by like the Food Network as Oklahoma's most haunted restaurant.
Oh, I had no idea.
Also, one of the most delicious.
Oh yes, place is awesome. Haunted by the ghost of my appetite.
It's funny to me how these shows always come back to food.
Well, there's no only one thing I know anything about.
I've always heard the people at Frank and Lola's in Bartlesville, which is one of my favorite restaurants in the entire state, just delicious. They said they have a ghost in their kitchen.
I think that was mentioned. You mentioned that. You were telling us a little bit about that when we were asking about. We haven't done a Bartlesville episode, but it's like kind of on our to-do list, probably for next season. Oh.
I would imagine there's got to be something haunting Price Tower, right?
I don't know. The ghost of Frank Lloyd Wright. I don't know. Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. Now I want you to go do Bartlesville show next season.
I'm sure we could.
Can find out. Yeah.
Find out. I have some contacts set up there, and I've been like poking them, like, "Hey, start finding some ghost stories for me." And they have been looking. So hopefully, I need to poke them up again, and it's like, "Hey, what have you found?"
So is that kind of how it goes? You're in contact with people in various parts of the state, and you're just like, "Hey, keep your ears open." Or
some of them, yeah. And surprisingly enough, we've also had some success, both seasons of the show so far, where we've just gone to places and like just flat out ask, "Hey, do you have any ghost stories?" For example, this season we did an episode on Route 66. Highlighting part of it from like Arcadia to Chandler, and we didn't really have much of a plan, except I had like one source in Luther to talk to, just as we have a backup, so we can at least get some stories. But we just kind of hit the open road and just like knocked on visited businesses and like, "Hey, do you have any ghost stories? Hey, do you have any ghost stories?" And we actually got lucky and we found some stories that like, they're not published online and they're not very well known. And we got some really great stories from that.
Yeah, the coffee house in Chandler, it was blown away. Yeah, because, you walk around asking about ghost stories and people say, "Oh, no, we got nothing." Which, right. Motorcycle Museum, not haunted, unfortunately. I want to haunt
that.
That'd
be a cool ghost. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that ghost.
Yeah, but then the coffee shop, we were just like, "Hey, do you have any ghost stories?" And they're like, "Well, let's take you upstairs and show you." And had all this evidence and these stories backed up. And, like, here's the time she called us and left her name on the phone, Lily, Lilly.
Yeah.
And, whoa. Yeah, and, like.
Actually, you guys need to come visit our building that we work in, the Commerce Building in Oklahoma City, because supposedly it's an old church and supposedly it's haunted. And Bridget, our producer, is right there and is shaking her head. One of our former colleagues was there late at night one night, and the printer just out of nowhere started printing, and it just said, "Help me," like a whole bunch of times. And she was like, "Okay, going home."
Sounds like a funny prank to do to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, but like, that's one of the very few haunted things I've ever had happen is I was there one night, like 7 p.m., like not the stroke of midnight. And I was in the bathroom and I was washing my hands.
Ghost clocking out.
It sounded like somebody came in, and I was literally standing right next to the sink's right there next to the door, and it sounded like I literally heard the door. And I was next to the door and it didn't open, but I could hear it. It was the strangest thing in the world. Yeah, like, and it wasn't like upstairs, downstairs, like it was right there. Yeah, so that's, I'm sure that I imagined that, but now maybe I didn't. I don't know. So you guys should come do that one too.
What's the process like? So you get to a place and you've interviewed some people. Are there any, are you kind of just playing jazz a lot, or do you have a checklist of stuff that you want to do at each place to kind of, like find whatever evidence you might find?
We're more kind of just sort of researching, just kind of like collecting the stories that people have. We're not like here to like prove or disprove them. We're just like, "What's your story?" And like just kind of like capturing the stories. Kind of our process is, when we do an episode, is we first kind of ask them like some general like, "Hey, what's your town like?" Or, "What's this business like?" Sort of like, general like, "I'm a tourist in this area. What should I do?" And then we kind of like dive deep into like the ghost stories and the paranormal. And this season, we've also started to include some cryptology as well. So
big urban legends. We got a story about Enid coming up with the John Wilkes Booth story.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah.
Which
supposedly the legend goes that John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated Abraham Lincoln, later died in Enid.
And it sounds crazy, but like all the research that's been done into it, and there's a lot of coincidences.
And the stuff about the mummy too that they was going around. Like,
traveled around. And
was this at the Simpson Brothers, the Skeleton Creek production?
No, down the street.
It's down the street from them. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, because I remember because I did a. That was one of my first stories for Oklahoma Today. Yep. Was I was doing a profile of the Simpsons brothers, and their crazy, like Western movie dreams, and then they were and they kind of took me around a little bit. That's awesome. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. That's gonna be a fun one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to track down too, because like who knows? Like it's possible. But then, you know, you've got, like, supposedly Bigfoot down in southeastern Oklahoma.
Sure.
The Hanobia Bigfoot Festival and all kind of cool stuff like that.
And we actually, when we were at El Reno, we were told that there was a Bigfoot sighted there. And by one of the – I never had looked it up because apparently it's online, the security footage from one of the casinos. A Bigfoot just going through the trash.
Yeah, you can see it. Which goes back the old Chicken Man story of El Reno. There was a Bigfoot supposedly back in the 60s, I want to say. Was robbing a chicken coop over and over again, and so they went after it.
Wow.
Yeah, so he gets around.
Well, apparently, golly, man, I just don't know how he stays hidden, like, out on the, you know, like, in the mountains, I get it, you know, because you can't, like, on the prairies out by El Reno, you can see, like, you'd see him coming, you know what I mean? That's kind of crazy. And then, of course, there's Fort Reno, which is, like, very famously
tons of stories.
Yeah.
POWs.
You can do a really cool ghost tour out there, actually.
Yeah, lantern light and everything.
Like, yeah.
Top notch.
They were talking about the spook light in eastern Oklahoma on KGOU the other day. That was an interesting one.
We sort of touched upon that in one of our Route 66 episode. We had a person who had actually done that, and so we captured that story, too, their experience.
Wow. What did they see?
Basically, they saw some lights, but they were like far away and they weren't sure if they were car lights. They didn't have but he also had like friends who had the actual experience of like, no, those aren't car lights when they're whizzing by them.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I didn't realize it got that close to people. Everyone who saw it from kind of far away.
There are some people that see it from far away and there's some people debating whether or not those are reflections and things. Especially since most of those stories seem to be more clear in the winter. When the trees are dead, so it's easier to see them. So that's why people are leaning towards that. But then there are people like, no, I'm in my car and these lights go through my car, you know, stories too as well.
Yeah, I just don't know that I would be okay if that happened. That's just very creepy.
And there's also the people who are also saying like these lights have been going around before there were cars too. So there's also that element to the story as well.
Right, because it goes back a ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does anyone, are there like, I don't know enough about this, but are there like, this is what this is, or this is who this is, like someone was murdered here, or anything like that?
Nothing like that, because like I said, it's been going on for a long time, so there's no like, this is what this is.
Okay. Have you ever had a moment in doing this where you were like straight up actually afraid?
I mean, Stonelight Inn was a little freaky, but
yeah.
But it's a little girl, so
I'm
not going to admit how afraid I am of her.
Yeah. I'm terrified of small children, so I get that.
There's nobody that scares me more than my 6-year-old daughter. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if she could walk right through you. I mean, Lord.
She's tried.
That's interesting because you definitely hear about like sometimes. I mean, they definitely dramatize it on like the Ghost Hunter show on TV and stuff. Like, oh, did you hear that? And like people freaking out. But like, I've heard, you know, you read about some things where it like legit gets kind of terrifying, right? And I'm glad nothing like that has ever happened.
Are there a lot of like Native American ghost stories as well?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've talked to lots of people who claim to have seen Native Americans appearing to them. So, yeah, the old legend of the ancient Indian burial ground, which we have lots of those in Spiro and other places around.
Yeah.
So who knows through thousands of years of occupation, like who else is buried out here?
And we also, some of those, didn't we get one of those for like our Edmund episode a little bit, kind of talking about some of those? I think it was like sort of an offhand mention, but yeah, we also haven't dived super deep in the podcast, but yeah, you've collected them on other things, so.
Yeah, and lots of stories of moved graveyards.
Like, okay, wait, what?
Yeah,
what?
So like, you know, the movie Poltergeist, where you're like, oh, they moved the graveyard and built a residential area. Oh, I'm like, yeah, well, that's stupid. Who would ever do that? Well, that's what we did in Norman and Oklahoma City and Edmond and Enid.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, quite a few so, places. You know, they settle the town and it's like, okay, well, we'll build this graveyard over here out of the way. But like, as the town grows very quickly, like, they want that land for the living again, and they disinter it, and we end up with lots of ghost stories at people's houses.
Well, that sounds like a terrible idea.
I know, right?
And yet.
And yet. Now I feel like I need to check the history of my house.
And make That's how you keep property values from going through the roof, I guess.
That's one way to do it. That's just...
Yeah, you can't gentrify out ghosts. That's like...
Well, maybe you can if you got enough sage, you know.
That's but, true.
Yeah, I need that for other things. So are there any kind of that you've heard of or that you've gone looking for kind of famous ghosts in Oklahoma? Like, I'm thinking of like people that were well known in life and then are said to haunt, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm. Well, we went to the Skirvin for sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We had to get a little creative on that episode, cause we couldn't actually interview anybody from the hotel or, so we had to like basically, okay, cause our is a docudrama. So we have some creative leeway. So we had like a friend kind of be like a fictional employee for us and kind of recount some of the stories that, you know, if we've heard that the, you know, you've collected. And then I think
New Jersey Nets famously said that they lost a game in Oklahoma City because they were kept awake all night by the ghost of the Skirvin.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, everybody blames it on that. Which, I mean, it's the Knicks, the Bulls, the Lakers.
Right.
Like, everybody's got an Effie story.
That is why when the Oklahoma Arts Council was having their big meeting, we were over at the Hotel 21C, and look around the corner, and that's where the Boston Celtics were staying. Oh, no Skirvin funny. For them.
Oh, yeah. That place has got to be haunted with all its factory
so,
history.
With all the yeah. Factory, yeah. Someone who got his body, you know, shoved into a car or something and driven off. Because it used to be an automobile factory.
Yeah.
Actually, didn't we find something about, not that particular building, but there's definitely some in Film Row in the Paramount building. Because we did an episode on that, and there was some stuff. And I think we asked around about 21C, but I don't think anyone really confirmed anything for us. I'm trying to remember if someone said anything about that. I
haven't heard anything concrete yet.
But this is interesting. It's fun, too, working in tourism as we do to find out how many places, businesses especially, and a lot of restaurants use this as like a selling point, right? Like I'm always a little bit like when they're like, well, and you know what's haunted? I'm like, everywhere's haunted. Like if you, you know, business gets a little slow, oh, it's a ghost. Like you just kind of wonder. But then like you hear enough stories, like the Frank and Lola thing I've heard from so many people. It's like, okay, well, something's going on.
Yeah. Dead tourism is very much a category of tourism.
Yeah.
And
it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Dead tourism.
it's what it's called, and at least one of the terms I've heard of it. So I was like, all right.
Interesting.
And it's kind of cool that it's here in Oklahoma, since you know, I mean, the western part of the state's only been settled for 125 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about Tishomingo being old at 160, but like you know, usually you think East Coast 400-year-old pubs and taverns and everything, and like, nope, it's a Skirvin.
Yeah, it's a very young 100 and something years old.
Yeah,
right. That's awesome. That's so cool, guys. Well, keep us up to date on what you see
Absolutely,
and what you run into.
Yeah.
This is so awesome.
And so if people want to listen to Tales Unveiled, that's available literally everywhere.
Yeah, anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, just search for Tales Unveiled. You can also check out the Tales Unveiled website at talesunveiled.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Tales Unveiled. So, and Tales Unveiled podcast for Instagram. So check us out anywhere and everywhere.
And then people can sign up for your ghost tours. Is it jeffprovine.com?
Jeffprovine.com. We got links to the events on the Facebook page, all the information you need.
That's awesome.
That's fun. That's a good way to like, I mean, you could do it all year, but especially this time of year, it's fun.
That
kind of stuff's really fun to think about. And of course, Uncovering Oklahoma, your YouTube series, Dennis.
Yes, yeah, Uncovering Oklahoma. We're actually working on an episode about some ghosts in Oklahoma City. I don't want to say anything because we're still trying to schedule things right now. But we do got an episode about some ghosts that I'm doing in collaboration with a local business. group, so we're quite excited about that episode.
That's cool.
Yeah, you keep your eyes peeled on YouTube for that, guys.
It's an excellent, and it's an excellent show. It's an excellent travel show. You guys look like you're having a lot of fun doing
it. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I try to release a new video every Thursday. I'm just trying to break that boredom bubble for people.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about this on the podcast the other day about, you know, it's like if you live in Oklahoma and you're bored, that's nobody's fault but your own. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just like there's always something to do.
Yeah.
Always something going on.
It's not like it used to be. Oklahoma has changed so drastically in the last decade,
yeah.
The last 5 years even. Yeah. I mean, the way things are growing.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Absolutely.
We are going to go through. We've got
Speaking of things to do.
Yeah,
there are things to do.
October 21st through the 26th is OKC Painting Palooza. It's an arty party at the Sheridan Hotel and Reed Center in Midwest City. Sign up for any number of classes, and you'll be learning a variety of art techniques while creating your own masterpieces to take home. Visit OKCPaintingPalooza.com to view the extensive catalog of events. Literally, I spent a long time flipping through that catalog being like, maybe I should paint something on like a piece of wood. I don't know. It looked cool. It's the whole deal.
And everybody loves a good palooza.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always a good way to spend time is to have a palooza. October 24th, The Wizard of Oz. This is going to be fun. The Constantine Theater in Pawhuska is showing the classic film, The Wizard of Oz, on the big screen. I've actually never seen this in a theater. I've seen it a million times on TV and stuff.
But there's something like it.
Yeah, yeah. So relive one of cinema's grandest spectacles as you, Dorothy, Toto, and the others make your way up the Yellow Brick Road. All those other things that happen. I love that movie though. I legit it's a trip to watch it as an adult, because as a kid you kind of just go with it.
Yeah.
And as a grown up you're like, this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Insanely weird that people are okay showing it to kids for one thing, but also as an adult I'm constantly like, as a kid it's not a movie, you know. As a kid it's a story and you're invested in the story, and as an adult, when you see it as a movie, you are seeing all of the little, you're seeing movie tricks. You're seeing the callbacks and the cameos. And it's like, oh, I get this so much more now.
Right.
Like how this can be both a story and this kid's dream.
Totally.
You know.
Behind the scenes from that movie is just really fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Like some of the stories I've heard, like the actress that played Dorothy, you know, like the only person that was nice to her was actually the Wicked Witch.
Oh, wow. No. That's interesting. I did hear recently, because, you know, that movie's out with Renee Zellweger, and so a lot of people are talking about Judy Garland right now, and so I heard that she was basically forced to take diet pills that whole movie.
Yeah, and smoke constantly.
Yeah. So sounds like a great experience for her.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't exactly want to be hanging around her. I could see people maybe giving her a wide berth if it's like, stay away from Diet Pill McSmokey over here.
Right, yeah. You know? But she was forced to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so she'd look younger anyway. But you can go to the Constantine Theater in Pawhuska and see
that's a free show. October 25th, head to Northwestern Oklahoma State University in Alva for Rally Round the Ranger, the official homecoming pep rally, as the Rangers prepare to face the Harding University Bison out of Arkansas on October 26th. Come prepared to cheer and come hungry. There will be pizza on the lawn. Visit nwosu.edu/homecoming for more info.
Alva's a cool town anyway. You should go up there. Also October 25th, grill demo with Chef Jason and 5280 Culinary. Are you looking for a grill? Who doesn't have a grill? If you need a grill, you should get a grill. Maybe you have one and you don't know what to do with it. That's another problem.
Yeah.
So Chef Jason Morse and 5280 Culinary will be cooking on a range of grills at Elk City's Ace Hardware from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. October 25th. So you can also sample some double fire chicken wings and pork belly burnt ends while you get cooking tips from Chef Jason. And if you can't make it that day, he also is going to be at the Ace Hardware in Woodward the next day, October 26th. And the tickets are free. You just have to get on eventbrite.com and get them. So go learn, go up your grilling game with Chef Jason. That's going to be fun.
October 25th as well, Oklahoma Witches Ball. Tulsa hosts this 18 and over Halloween party featuring DJ Rob on the ones and twos, an apocalypse photo booth, a witch cackling contest, We're definitely going to have to try some cackles on the way out here.
Yeah, but probably not on air. We don't want to break anybody's car speakers.
And a costume contest with a $150 prize for the winner. For more info, visit okwitchesball.com. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then October 27th, the Trick or Treat Wine Tour. Starting in Bricktown and using a charter bus for maximum comfort, this adults-only costume party includes stops at three wineries, Tres Sueños, Claren Ridge, and Water's Ridge.
Water's Edge.
Water's Edge, I apologize, Water's Edge Winery, for tours and wine tasting. The tickets are $80 and also available at eventbrite.com. That sounds like a lot of fun, too. One of those kind of grown-y-uppy Halloween enjoy-yourself kind of things. Yeah. It's not just for kids, folks.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. It should be, but it isn't. thank you guys so much for joining us for another week on the Oklahoma Today podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss any episodes. Rate and review us online.
Absolutely.
Send any questions or comments to oktpod@travelok.com. And once again, we want to thank our sponsors, MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition, and remind you guys to subscribe to Oklahoma Today Magazine.
Yep.
And you can visit us anytime at oklahomatoday.com. We're always putting new events and trivia questions and photos up there.
You can win things.
You can.
And we should give a shout out, especially because she's in the room, but mostly just because she's awesome, to our producer, Bridget, our production manager at the magazine. She's great.
She is the one who makes these listenable.
Yeah, like when we say stupid things. And
which is most of it.
She edits them out.
These would normally be 8 hours long.
Next week, to whet your appetite a little bit, literally, we are joined by the women behind Pie Junkie.
Darcy Shine and Leslie Cole Mossman, the Pie Junkies, will join us next week. So
that is going to be fun.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time.